Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we're speaking to gorgeous Sonia, self-professed mum of the year.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
It's important to own it because often people don't give us our due.
No, and so, as Kate's been saying, we just don't have the audacity of men.
We don't, yeah, and it's time to get some.
Yeah, it is. It was tongue-in-cheek.
Of course. Well, for those of you who care about our weather chats, autumn is here in Melbourne. Summer has gone.
Yep.
She's left the building.
Yep.
And as my Irish cousins say, winter is drawing in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, winter's drawing in.
I probably would say it there.
I feel like it does draw in, doesn't it? The nights are darker, the mornings are darker.
Yeah, this morning was hard to get up.
Yeah. And it's cold when you get out of bed again. Yeah. You're like, oh, ducted heating, that's right.
Yep, everyone's sneezing.
Yep.
I'm allergic to the dust. Might be just my house. So let's say hello to our guest. Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm Sonia. I'm really happy to be on the podcast today to talk about my daughter, Emmy.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Emmy's divine. So let's start with our questions.
Okay. So our first question, do you have a song or a band or music that either sort of lifts you up when you're feeling down or pumps you up when you're happy?
Yeah, I think it's the same song for both. Mm. I kind of have a pump up jam and it's Sia Titanium.
Oh, that's a good one.
When I feel like I need to put on some armor.
Yes.
Pump up my own, lack of self-confidence or whatever, I put on Sia Titanium.
Yeah. Ah,
perfect.
Oh, putting
perfect.
On the armor is such
yes,
a...
it is.
Visual of how we feel, isn't
it? Yeah, it really, really, really is.
Well, that will go on the Spotify. I don't think anyone said that.
I don't think so.
No.
We've got another Sia on there,
it is a great song.
But yeah.
Yeah. Mm. What about, did you win any awards at school?
Nope.
Do you want to think about it or?
No, I was not a remarkable or outstanding student.
Yep.
However, I have one funny story that for a brief period of time, some of my classmates thought that I was actual royalty.
Oh.
Yes. So I am half Norwegian. So I grew up in America, but my mother is Norwegian from Norway. Mm. And as a lot of cultures do, they have kind of like cultural clubs that you go to. Mm. And we would have this yearly Scandinavian event from, you know, with people from Norway, Sweden, Iceland, Denmark, etc. And we would have a representative from each country really be a princess.
Oh.
And my particular year that I got to be the princess for Norway, I got my photo taken in the local newspaper.
Oh.
One of my high school teachers caught wind of this, saw this. It was actually on the front page.
Wow.
In picture, local newspaper. A lot was happening with President Clinton at the time, but he got a seat to my royal party. Two for once, and I was on the front page of the newspaper. My French teacher in high school showed this to students and convinced a few of my classmates that I was actual royalty. So I let them think that for a little bit.
Enough. It's no Genovia. Actually, Norway. That is so gorgeous.
That's better than an award.
That actually is.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think so. And I still have that newspaper clipping.
Maybe you could get us a photo of it. We could put it up when your episode comes out.
And our favorite question, why are you a P?
I am a P because I am a mother to a gorgeous little girl who is a pea shoot, Emmy, and she has something called Patau syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Let's find out all about it. Now, yes. I know Emmy and Sonia, and I tell you, you would all love to meet Emmy. She is gorgeous.
Yes.
So let's find out all about it. What about telling us about the early days of Emmy? What about like her birth and stuff like that? Is that when things became apparent or?
Yeah. We knew during my pregnancy that something wasn't quite right. And we went in the 20-week scan ultrasound.
Was that here in Australia? You were here?
Yeah. So I had been in Australia for quite some time before Emmy was born. And it was at our local hospital. I had a scan and the ultrasound technician was like, it just went quiet a little bit. Mm. And she said, I haven't seen this in my 14 years of being a sonographer.
Right.
So that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to find out the gender of our baby.
Yes, Sonia.
At the 20-week scan. So she went and got someone else and they came in and they had a look and they're like, okay, yep, we can tell that there has been some differences between the 12-week scan and the 20-week scan. We need to explore this further. So we knew that there was something different. They looked at the major things that they would look for the common kind of genetic abnormalities, and they weren't present. So they really didn't know what to do. Asked if I wanted to do an amniocentesis. I chose not to because we knew that we were going to continue with the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
That we had made. And so we didn't know exactly what was going on until after Emmy was born.
Mm.
It was early by nearly 7 weeks.
Okay. So
33 weeks and a few days. And she spent about 6 weeks in special care nursery or local hospitals.
Did you know she was going to come early or was it spontaneous?
We had suspected that she would come early. We're doing those regular checks with like her heart rate and everything. I was working full time as an office administrator at the time and went in for one of my routine pregnancy appointments at lunchtime and we noticed that she was in a transverse position.
Right.
So not even she was sideways. And then they noticed that there was very little fluid in amniotic fluid around her. So they knew that it was time to get her out. And they asked, do you want to have the baby tonight or tomorrow?
Right. Wow.
And So I said tonight, because there's no way that I'd be prepared to sleep or not sleep the next day. So I had to call my boss and go, look, you've got to get someone else to do.
What a phone call.
I'm not coming back. So I had her on a Friday evening, and she was tiny. I had her by cesarean. It was an emergency Caesar because there's very little fluid. There's no way they were going to be able to turn her around. Her heart rate was dropping. Emergency Caesar it was. And they whisked her off straight away to special care nursery. And she was crying and everything right when I had her. But I was like, wait, I need to get my glasses on.
Because I want to see her.
Yes.
Could see was this pink little thing on the other side of the room, and they had her on the recess table and everything because they thought that there could be some issues right away, but she was screaming and everything, and they wheeled her off. It was like, hold on, let me get my glasses on. I want to so they whisked her away to special care nursery, and my husband followed shortly after, and there I was. A dramatic entrance, and that has really paved the way.
What do they say? Start as in the way.
Start as you want to finish. Yeah, she definitely did.
Were you in shock?
Oh, I was definitely in shock. I had no idea what to expect. It was our first child, and honestly, I'm not a very good patient, and I had just had a cesarean, and you know, I wasn't in a good space.
No.
Anyway, so yeah, it was a bit shocking. And then that was kind of late evening, and then they kind of put me in a room with three other mothers with their babies.
So with me. It's so horrible.
Awful.
Yeah.
It was awful. And you know, their babies were crying. Yes, they were breastfeeding. And at that point, I hadn't even seen my baby yet.
That was a specific grief that I don't think people talk about.
And I know it's because there's no beds.
Yeah.
But it's terrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just horrible. They come in and wake you up to express this tiny amount of colostrum out of your breasts, and everybody else has their babies in the room, and they're like, well, you rest. You're like, well, I can't because all these babies are crying, and I'm crying because I miss my babies. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely that. And I asked in the middle of the night, I said, can I go and see my baby? I haven't actually seen her yet. And so because I just had a Caesar, they're like, you need to be able to use the toilet. And you need to be able to walk. And
they couldn't put you in a wheelchair?
I think they ended up putting me in a wheelchair, but I hobbled myself over.
Did I, babe. Yep.
Did my thing, and I got myself down there to the special care nursery.
Yeah.
It's just.
And when you saw her, what did you think?
Oh, I was, you know, she looked like a bird.
Yeah. Only a preemie mum.
Yeah, that's right.
But she was tiny, and she was 1.5 kilos.
Oh, when
she
was,
so that was 3 pounds, 6 ounces or something. Yeah. So she. She just looked like a bird who had come out of an egg too quickly, too soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Molly was 1.5, and as my friend said, 3 blocks of butter. And I was like, wow.
That
was
about the same size as Woody, too.
So, in that time in special care, was there, we're going to start doing some testing, or was it just, we're just going to fatten her up and get her home?
Yeah. The main thing was to make sure that she, could take food and stuff. So I expressed, they had a lot of doctors going around because at that particular hospital, it's like a training hospital. So they would do the doctor's rounds. And at one point, I think she was about 2 weeks old at that point, one of the doctors said, maybe you just have a small baby. You know, they were looking for kind of the telltale signs of a disability. And they couldn't see anything. Apart from one pediatrician saw a tiny pinhole, almost like an ear pierce hole in her ear. And And so she's like, that's kind of characteristic to one of the trisomy abnormalities. Let's put her in for testing. So we had all the bloods done when she was a couple weeks old. And it took a long time to get the results, mainly because, well, they called the results inconclusive. But because it's not really a common disability or abnormality. And she had a lot of things going on with her chromosomes. So she's got trisomy 13, which is Patau syndrome. Mm-hmm. And that's usually like an extra bit of chromosome on the 13th chromosome or an extra one.
Yep.
And Emmy's case, she has some additions to the 13th chromosome. She has some deletions.
Right.
She has some kind of genetic makeup that they haven't documented before.
Right.
Some of the cells in her body are 100% normal and okay. But they can't tell us how many of the chromosomes are affected in her body.
Right. Wow.
So the test came back inconclusive, and they call her particular genetic abnormality mosaic.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So, and this was how, was she home when you had these results, or was she still in hospital?
No, she was in the hospital.
Right.
That was gut-wrenching.
Yes.
Yeah, really, really gut-wrenching, just waiting for those results and trying to process that without my baby home was really hard.
Sonia.
Because we didn't know, like when we got the results, we didn't know if she would actually come home from the hospital, because the doctors said, go home and Google it.
They said, go home and Google it.
Yeah, they said, go home and get as much information as you need to. And that was the worst thing.
Wow, I've never heard a doctor say that, ever.
Yeah. So that was hard. But she came home at about 6.5 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
And she was quite healthy. She was quite healthy when she came home. And we kind of went to our normal appointments. And she had some physio because she came out when she was transverse. She came out with arms and legs everywhere like a starfish. So we knew that hip dysplasia would be in our future.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So that was one of our first things to kind of tick off the list, was to do some physio with her. And then she got a hip brace. One of the characteristics of trisomy 13 is microcephaly, which is a small head.
Right.
And Emmy has that, and at one point she was getting a bit of a flat spot. We saw the physio about that, so she was nearly put into a helmet plus hip brace at the time. But luckily no helmet, so they said it was okay, and what we were doing was helping and stuff like that. But very soon after that she got glasses as well.
Yeah. She
was kitted out.
Cute baby. Very photos cute. With glasses. Oh my gosh. Yeah. What did you call her to me in a message? What?
Baby Elton John. She just looked like a little, like they were almost like aviator goggles sort of. And I can't remember, I think she was 10 months old when she got them, but she was a very small baby. So she looked like she was 5 months old. And I remember people stopping me at the grocery store asking if they were real glasses.
Yes.
And I'm like, as if I would put baby.
I want my baby to look like Elton John.
Yes. Yeah, she's also got a wig on and we've had her nails done.
How divine. So when you're adding hardware, I know for me, I found that super challenging.
Yep, definitely. I just felt like I was riding a wave with her. Just kind of those early days of that, or maybe even more like a roller coaster of going, yep, okay, here's what we've got. Let's work on it. And then it's just so confronting going out into the public and being in the wild, so to speak.
Yes.
other people's reactions to our baby and questioning stuff. It's like, why are you even questioning me? And,
curious are you? Because it's not going to make any difference to you what the answer is. Can you just keep walking? Mm-hmm.
Did any of your family come over from America or anything?
We did like a baby dedication service when she was about 10 months old. And we have a tradition. So on the Norwegian side of the family, we have this christening gown that has been passed down generation to generation. All the babies get to wear it and get their names embroidered on.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, you are royalty.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we forget about these things.
Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
The Queen Mother
passed it down. So this was my grandmother's christening gown. So she was christened in 1901.
Wow.
My mother personally brought the gown down to have Emmy christened in it, and my auntie from Norway also came.
Makes me want to cry. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So that was really special to be able to do that.
Mm, have that precious moment.
And did you go to New Mums Group or any of those things? Did you find?
They recommended that I go to a new mom's group, but it was blatantly obvious from the get-go that my baby and my circumstance was totally different to everyone else's. And I'm still friends with a couple of those ladies, like on Facebook and stuff. And there's a bit of grief with that because I can see their kids and where they're at now. Mm. And it's just so different, completely different journey. Mm. So I can't say that it was helpful.
But then, okay, well, this is this time in my life I thought I was going to make new friends and go around to people's houses, and that's not happening.
Definitely.
And without a diagnosis that has big support, then there's nowhere necessarily to go.
You're right. And when Emmy was born and we had the diagnosis, there were several months before we even saw a geneticist. We went home with very vague information about the syndrome and just what the doctor told us in special care nursery to look it up on Google.
Wow.
There's a whole range of things that's associated with trisomy 13. Like it affects 1 in 4,000 to 20,000 babies. They don't really know. They can't pinpoint the number because the mortality rate is quite high. So a lot of children with trisomy 13 may pass away because of miscarriage or stillbirth. Or if they're born live, then they may pass away within the first weeks.
Right.
So we came home. They said, okay, if she makes it to a month, let's say, let's move the goalpost to 3 months. And if she makes it to 3 months, then it's likely that she'll make it to a year. And if she makes it to a year, so the goalposts kept on changing because they had no clear information about it. And when we finally saw the geneticist there, she was the one who told us that Emmy's genetic abnormality hadn't been documented before.
Wow.
It's possible that someone out there has it, very similar to Emmy, but her exact abnormality hasn't been documented. So they couldn't tell us what to expect.
Right.
That's a lot.
Yes.
Because I think, you know, we always yearn. We yearn for, I don't know, if you're a person that wants to get married, you yearn to hear wedding stories. And if you want to give birth, you yearn for birth stories. And if you, you know, whatever your thing is, people who played the sport that you played before you.
Yes.
And what did you do with that?
It was a very insular, low time. Yes. And I have to be honest, I feel like we're just now finding out more about her condition. And we have only met one other person who had her abnormality.
Right.
It's a small community. I know that there are a couple of people here in Victoria who have it or who have children who have it. But we've only met one other child in Queensland who has it. And he presents a lot like Emmy. So It was really, really beautiful to see them together.
Oh.
And so we met him for the first time a couple of years ago, and we hadn't really told Emmy that she has a disability.
Right.
That was a personal choice for us. Like, we didn't want to put that label on her. We wanted her to kind of find out more about herself before slapping that label on her. But she didn't really realize that she had a disability. Now she does. Mm. And yeah, she's quite proud of it, actually. Mm. And she'll ask other people what they have.
Yeah. She's an absolute ripper. Yeah.
So funny. And we very rightly named her Emmy because she brings the drama. And we joke and we have a little hashtag that we say that we won an Emmy.
Yeah, you certainly did. Best actress.
Yep.
Yeah. Bring the drama wherever she's at.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tell us about, there was a very, very difficult time when she was around 3 and she was very sick. If you feel like sharing that, I don't know.
Yeah. It started when she was 10 months old, actually, until she was about 3 or 3.5. So she has underdeveloped lungs, and that's because she was born premature and I was enough that I knew that she was going to come earlier. We had suspected that she would. So I had all the injections, like the steroids. To improve her lung development. So I did all of that. But she has quite weak lungs, and she's been affected by respiratory distress quite a number of times. And when she was 10 months old, she got sick with a virus from childcare and picked her up, saw that she was unwell, took her to like an urgent care clinic, and they're like, oh, she's fine. But by the end of the appointment, they're like, yep, she is not fine.
Wow.
So they told me to take her to emergency at our local hospital. Went there, she really wasn't improving, and her respiratory rate was quite high, and she was getting really unwell. So they called for a transfer from the Royal Children's Hospital to come get her.
Wow.
And transfer her over there. And they had the PETS or pediatric emergency team. So they had doctors on the ambulance and they were transferring her. So as they were getting her ready, she dropped quite a bit. And this was like early morning. I stayed with her. I called my husband because I could see doctors back and forth. And
Sonia,
you have to come in. Like, things are just not good. And so they stabilized her and they said, say goodbye. And I didn't feel the gravity of that until later. I just thought, you know, wave goodbye. She's going on the ambulance. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize at that point in time that this could be.
Goodbye.
Could be.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, they put her on the ambulance and they transferred her, and we raced down to the Royal Children's room for her. And it was a long time before someone came in, took us to that little room that I talked about. And
you must have been frantic.
Oh, we were absolutely frantic. And then the gravity of the situation just kind of fell on my shoulders. And I automatically thought, instead of planning a first birthday, we're going to be planning something else. Mm. And so they said that she's here, but she suffered a cardiac arrest on the way. And we found out that she was gone for 2.5 minutes. Oh. And the doctors on the ambulance got her back.
Wow.
Yeah. So she had a pneumothorax, which is a collapsed lung, and a cardiac arrest.
Baby girl.
On the way to the hospital. And we drive that stretch of road quite often. Yeah. It's really close to the Royal Children. So every time we go on that street, I'm like, Emmy, this is where you are.
Goosebumps. Yeah, that's haunting. Yeah. Mm. Yes.
This is your second chance. So we talk about drama, you know.
Yes,
that's
yes.
A bit of her drama. So that was the most major event for her. But she did have subsequent respiratory distress where she was at the Royal Children's and she was in ICU, I think roughly 7 times. Mm. And then she's been in the hospital with respiratory distress more than 20 times.
Yeah.
Now. Mm. But they're getting less severe. So yes. Really time was between that 10 months of age and when she turned 3.
Yeah.
She's seeing those episodes every month, every 2 months. Mm. So we were a hospital family. We had the bag already packed in the closet, ready to go.
Yeah.
And we had kind of a contingency plan for when that happened.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Precious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about getting ready for school. What was it like? Kinder, all those kind of years.
Yeah. Kinder was good. She went to a mainstream kinder. She had a full-time aide with her, helping her out. She was partially verbal when she started 3-year-old kinder, so she would do some sign language and some verbal communication. Mm-hmm. And 4-year-old kinder was really good for her because I feel like she just kind of leveled up. She got stronger, managed a lot of some of the behavior stuff that she was going through. But we realized at that point that she was using her aide, her person, as a slave. And she was like, she said, okay, you're going to do this for me. So she would wave them over and say, adult. And get them to do things for her.
Yes.
And then she started school at a mainstream school, and she had a full-time aide for mainstream, but she had really got cottoned on to the idea of having someone to help her with everything. And at that point, I was pregnant and just about to have my second child, Barrett, and found myself starting over because I had him in May, so partway through the school year. So I had Emmy just starting school. And then I had a newborn Barrett at home, and it was kind of starting over again.
Yes.
So school, it was very apparent by the end of the first year that it wasn't a good fit for her. And then the second year, grade one here, we had her part-time at the special school and part-time at mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of that year, it was very apparent that she should be full-time because it was 2 schools, 2 meetings, 2 uniforms, all of that. And then COVID hit the year that we decided to move for full-time. We all roll our eyes.
We know the gravity of that.
We really do. And because you had
and you're ready to be embraced by that full time, and
wasn't even a full term.
No,
and then we were home.
No, but that was the best decision that we could have made to move her over to one.
Yeah, how did that feel?
It was good. It felt like she had found her place.
Yeah,
you know, every time we moved her into something that was more entrenched in the disabled community, I don't know, I kind of lit up and dimmed down at the same time.
That is true.
Yes, like I'm like, oh, I can see similarities in the kids and the parents and the families, but no, honestly, this is not what I wanted for myself. So
yeah.
That's how I have felt with pretty much anything that she has gone into that's kind of in the disabled world. But I've really taken that on. I feel now like it's more of a superpower to be a part of the disabled community and mainstream community as well.
Yeah. How did you go through COVID?
Ooh.
And you had a baby.
Toddler?
Yeah, I had a toddler. First year, the school was really on board and, you know, everything was fresh and different. My husband was working from home. We had a relatively small house. We had built like a little study nook in our hallway. And I was then working from home and we were just all on top of each other, but we knew that Emmy would be okay and healthier in that situation. Yes. And I think I posted something on my Instagram account, like, yep, we've done this before because we have self-isolated before.
That's right.
To keep us and Emmy healthy. So it wasn't unusual, but it was just really, really long.
Yes, it was really long. Very long.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Sonia's in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then what about coming out of that? And what grade was she in then? She's in grade five. She's in grade six now. Yeah.
So I think she was in grade three.
Yeah.
Did she do some school? Did she go to school some days? No.
No. And it was only because of her health and
Yes.
Compromised health. Yeah.
Yeah, that must have been frightening, putting her back into the world then.
Yeah. And then when we went into the lockdown the second year, you remember the one where it was like, oh, it'll just be a little one.
Yeah.
And then it became a long
12
one.
Weeks or
something. Yeah, we were all done. And the school started to recycle materials from the first year. Like, we've done this before. And my little toddler, Bear, he would get so frustrated because we were spending all of this time with Emmy doing this work. One of those days, he just wiped everything off the table.
We all felt like it. He just lived out our fantasy.
Yes.
None of this today, please.
Yes. It was done. Yeah. Oh, gosh. And now she's in grade six.
Yes.
Yep. And she's
Does
fabulous.
She like school?
Yeah, she does like school. She's so social.
Very social.
She's never really had a day where she didn't want to go to school. She's an extrovert and wants to be out there in the world. So she does enjoy school. She finds it difficult, but she does really enjoy it for the social aspect.
And so what, if you had to like describe her to us, what's her personality like?
Well, definitely like what I said before, drama. She's super friendly. She will be your best friend from the get-go. She will tell you the most dramatic stories of her life.
Yes. I've had a few from her that I thought, is this happening right now? But it had been from a few years ago. Yeah. She really remembers things.
Yes, she does. She has that ability to remember things that I did not think that she would remember. Mandy, I want to tell the story about the police officer.
Oh, it was just the greatest.
So Emmy's newly joined Special Olympics during athletics. So we know Mandy and family. Yeah. And last weekend was Emmy's absolute first competition with athletics.
Yep.
And she was feeling all the nerves.
Oh, she
and
was.
Everything. So when we got there, she was having a bit of a meltdown. And, you know, at that point, I can't do very much if she's just kind of having. And they had the law enforcement there for the torchbearers to do the opening ceremony for Special Olympics for the event on Sunday. So this really beautiful police officer named Josh, came over and had a chat. And Emmy all of a sudden was getting the attention. And so she latched herself onto Josh and she just flipped a switch. So she went from full meltdown to full flirtation.
It gave everyone so much joy because you see this policeman like,
It was so funny with him. And she's like, why do you have a gun? Why do you have a walkie-talkie? Yeah. She's like, I heard something at my house. And I was thinking, yep, he's going to have to start filling out a police report for an animal outside of the house. And then it was the cutest thing when the opening ceremony started. She held his hand the whole way out there, all the way around the track, and she was quite worried about the sounds and the fire of the torch that was being carried around, but with Josh by her side.
We might be able to get the photo and maybe stick her his face because she's just talking his head off.
I thought I would have to go over and save him after about 10 or 15 minutes.
He probably had a great day.
Yes, they
Someone
do.
Someone to chat with
Absolutely love it. Yeah.
They would see the darker side of society.
They love Special Olympics. That's why I tell anyone who's a police officer, get into it because it's joyful policing.
Yeah, and they do so much hard work.
I think it's a valuable education for both of them, the Special Olympics side of things and the police officers. I think it's really beautiful to see.
What has that meant to her being a part of Special Olympics and coming to athletics or to your family as well? What has that meant?
It has really, I really feel like she's leveled up, especially earlier on. She didn't walk. She walked at a very late age, like after age two for her. And we didn't think that she was going to walk. And then she went in for surgery at her grommets and tonsils and adenoids. And 2 days after the surgery, she stood up and walked across the room.
Wow. Yeah.
We had no idea or not even an inkling that her balance, like her.
My boys walked after their grommets. Yes. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah. Who knew?
Yeah. It was such a surprise. And so before that, we were talking to the orthopedic surgeon about a walking frame or some sort of support. And Emmy does have club feet as part of her condition. And so not only to see her run around a track, but just to be a part of a team was a huge victory and a huge achievement for her. She's always had an interest in Olympics. She really, really likes the world flags.
Yeah. And good year then.
So when we told her that she can join Special Olympics, she was in. So we're trying athletics at the moment, but she has a goal of being a gymnast.
Sure. Right, yeah.
That's the next step.
To be a beautiful gymnast.
Yeah.
She was, you came to the Christmas party last year and some of my family were on the table with you guys. And I said, you're going to be very entertained, as they were.
And what about you? How are you? And what do you do for a job? And tell us about you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously I am not from Australia originally.
How did you end up here?
Yeah, a roundabout way, really. So I was born and grew up in the States. And because of the Norwegian family connection, I went to Norway for a little while. And then I went to Russia for a little while and lived in Russia. And I met my Australian husband
in Russia, of course.
When you're a Norwegian princess, anything's possible.
I mean, it is possible.
Anything's possible. I mean, that was ages and ages ago now, and we decided to move here to Australia. We basically flipped a coin because we thought we were going to move to America. Mm-hmm. We changed our minds overnight and moved here.
Wow.
I'm so glad we did, especially with a disability. Yes. I feel so much more supported here.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm a part of some support groups for Trisomy 13, and a lot of them are in the States, and it's a different journey over there with their kids and how they advocate for them and the healthcare that's possible for their kids. So, yeah, having a child with a disability has really, I don't know, kind of grown me in some areas and made me step out of my comfort zone. But it is a lonely place to be, especially because the Trisomy 13 community is so small.
Yeah.
And I am trained in business administration, so I was working full-time in an office until the day Emmy was born. And then when she started to get sick a lot, I was like, I've got to change. I've got to do something different. And I've always had an interest in floristry. And so I took some workshops and kind of grew a business on top of the business administration stuff that I've done. And then my love of flowers. So I have worked at a couple of florists, and I also have an online shop, which was quite successful in COVID times.
Yes, it would have been.
Yeah, that was really interesting because wherever there was a lockdown in Australia is where most of my sales came from, because people were missing out on births, deaths,
everything,
that sort of thing. And it was so good for me because it was creative and I can use a different part of my brain and really felt like it was therapy for me.
And she has a flower, Kate, you'd love it.
Yeah, I would love it, I can tell.
Yes, you can tell.
I love flowers.
Yes, and design, all of it. You've definitely got a flair.
It was a perfect fit in our lockdowns here in Melbourne. I would go into the florist where I was working after hours because we couldn't have a lot of employees, small area. So I put my hand up to come in from like 7 to 10 p.m. and order for the following day. And so I would go in, I'd put a show on Netflix, I'd listen to your podcast, most of the time your podcast.
Thank you. Happy days by yourself.
Yeah, just making arrangements and writing notes to people. And it definitely was a form of therapy for me just to be able to get house and do something creative.
Yeah, that was very hard during COVID to find your creative self for a lot of people, I think. Yeah, wow.
We will put a link to your business and everything so people can find you
on the Insta.
Yeah, because there's times where I know, and we both know in small business, there's, you know, ebbs and flows.
Scary, but amazing.
I feel this time is about an ebb. I've pushed pause on it only because small business locally is struggling post-COVID, especially for the florist industry. So I've gone back to doing more of my business admin. I'm working in an office now.
Yeah.
But it's there. Like, I have a studio in my house. I have flowers that I've dried myself. They're hanging. And I can go time that I want to make something either for a gift or special order or that sort of thing. So it's been put on pause for the moment, but it's there and I can see it every day.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing sometimes
about having living.
Yeah. It's massive.
I think things that are, you know, flowers are a treat.
Yeah.
And I have definitely had times where I'd be like, I would normally be sending someone flowers at the moment, but I can't afford it. So I'm just sending a text.
Definitely.
So I think, it's a really tricky time for small business.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, but you'll always be able to come and go from that if that's what you want.
And if you love it.
Yeah, and she's good at it. Yeah. Yep. So next year you'll be looking at like high school for Emmy. How does that feel thinking about that?
Yeah, it's really strange actually. I just did a school tour this morning.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah, it's an interesting space to be in because she's changed a little bit and she had a cognitive assessment done last year and scored lower in her IQ than what we're expecting.
Right.
So that, again, has changed the goalposts. So we thought we were at this particular school. Now we are having to shift and look at a couple of different options. And then she has a fresh diagnosis of autism on top of her intellectual disability, which we had suspected for a really, really long time. but it was hard to find the right person who was able to kind of tease out what was behavior and her intellectual disabilities.
Yes.
So goalposts have changed for us. I'm looking at schools. It's a strange place to be in, actually.
It really is.
And primary school, for the most part, I know not for everybody, is so supported. It's high school just feels different.
And I felt like that first day when I dropped off in high school, I felt like there should have been 10,000 psychologists lining the path for all of us to come out and just collapse into their arms. Because it's such a monumental developmental time.
Yeah.
And we're in a different path and it's massive.
Totally agree. After I did the tour today, I asked the principal if I could actually bring Emmy back to have a look, because I really want her to feel empowered and take some ownership about her next step. So we've made a time for Emmy to come back and do a school tour there. And I will take her, if I can, to the other schools as well, just to get her gut feeling.
She's got to go there.
And I will, you know, primary school, I made all the decisions for her. And now that she's getting older, she can be a part.
Yes, beautiful. Sonia, it's been lovely talking to you.
So lovely.
We know we're scratching the surface of everyone we speak to. You could have your own podcast, right? But is there anything we've missed that you want to tell the world?
Well, I want to find more Trisomy 13 families.
Yes.
I know that there are a couple here in Victoria, and I would love to make actual contact with them because it is such an insular place. It's a lonely, weird world, this particular genetic disorder, and I really just want to kind of cast my net out wider. So if anyone's listening to this in Victoria, they know someone who has a trisomy 13 kid or relative or friend, I would love to speak with them.
Yeah, terrific. Good. I bet you someone.
Yeah, or someone will hear something and go, I've heard of this before.
Yes. Thank you, Pete.
We really want people to be less lonely.
That's right. That was the whole purpose of the podcast.
Thank you for talking to us today. You have a beautiful, calming voice.
She does, and she has listened to me and seen me in all my berserkness over the years, being, you know, ahead of her with a daughter, and we've shared schooling and the buses in the mornings and Emmy chatting to me at 7:45 in the morning. But I really love your family, and I'm always going to cheer you on, Sonia.
Thank you so much. Such a blast with you two today.
Lovely. Thank you.
Support comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.